Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris. I am an author, occasional filmmaker, podcaster, artsy-fartsy kind of guy, and general ne'er-do-well. Welcome. I invite you to go into the past with me. I had spoken before about some of the stuff I've done with conventions, both behind the table and in front of the table. And I was in my basement where I kind of do my podcasting and everything, and I looked at a collection of old flyers and posters and stuff from one of our old conventions we had done, some friends and I. And in that, in the midst of that, is a flyer for a show that never happened, that we were putting together to put on, and it did not come together. And so I wanted to talk about that and just kind of the interesting kind of things that happen, on your little path doing these shows. I'm not going to name the person's name who we were involved with. It's not worth it, because they have passed, and I have a grudge not deep enough to sully the name of someone, especially who has passed away. But I thought the story was fun. So once upon a time, some friends and I started putting these conventions on. I've talked about this in blogs and on other podcasts, so you can kind of just look back in the archives if you want and want to know kind of the whole story. It's all interesting. Even during, when it was all coming together, I was kind of like, man, this would have made an interesting documentary, and it really would have, because, you don't see kind of from ground level, especially kind of a regional kind of show like that coming together. And heaven knows there was so much behind the scenes drama, just ridiculous. But so that first show, we were all surprised at how well it came together and how smoothly. I mean, that's the thing with these kind of shows, is you have to just kind of steel yourself with the understanding like things are going to go wrong and there's nothing you can do about it. And you just kind of got to roll with it and adapt and evolve, kind of your ideas and just, it is what it is. You can't freak out because you're dealing with people. Lots of people. I mean, I remember, I think it was our first or second show, we had rented a Masonic temple in Flint, and the guy we rented from, we knew, he was the guy managing it. And I remember hearing from him that he had caught a couple having sex somewhere in the building, because it was a fun, old, funky building. We were using three of the levels. And it was just, it's one of those things, like, people are so weird and gross. Like, and it's a building that you don't get into a whole lot, and it's a funky building. It's supposedly haunted, and it was just, it's gross to think that these people are like, let's get it on, and they just kind of went and we're doing whatever. So people are weird, but you never really, and it's a weird thing. It's kind of like having a kid, in that you can do everything possible to make every aspect of their lives as great as it can be, but as soon as they're out of your sight, and even before then, they are living their lives. Like, right as I speak, my kiddo is in daycare, and I have no idea how her day will go. Not really, not deep down. You hope for the best, and you kind of trying to raise them the best you can, and kind of, fix the errors in your own personality that you see, and just like, oh man, I don't want to pass that on. But like, the day she has, the life she's going to have is hers. And so you throw these shows, and in this instance, a convention, and you invite several hundred people to come, you have no idea what's going to happen. Someone there may have had the worst day of their lives. Someone may have had the best day of their lives because they met somebody that was like a friend or a celebrity or something. And we were, again, a regional show, a small show. We did not have really, really big names. I'm trying to see the poster. We had Tom Sullivan, that did the special effects for the Evil Dead. Ken Segoes, who I'm still talk to, and I'm trying to get on the podcast eventually when he has some time. Josh Becker came out. I can't remember his name. The other guy from Evil Dead came out, and some other folks. Like, just it was amazing. And people had fun, and we had great vendors, and it was a really cool thing. Like, we got to, it was Tom's birthday, so. One of the people that was on our committee made a book of the dead cake for him. and we presented it to him, and everybody sang him happy birthday, and it was really great. It's a special thing. And you do it, and you're like, yeah. You kind of high five yourself, like, right on. Well, then you want to kind of do another one. And we did, I think, three or four. You know, we did a bunch of shows, but I think we did three or four conventions. We want to do another one. And then suddenly everything is complicated. At first, everything seems easy. Cause it's like, oh gosh, you're like, we know this person. So this person will be cheap as free. This person said they do it for X amount. We can afford that. You know, this person's kind of regional. We can get them. You know, Ken had reached out to me. And who knows how he found out about it? I don't know. I mean, the first time I spoke to him, and he's just the sweetest person. Ken Segoes is from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4. He was Kincaid. The sweetest guy. But yeah, like, so you do the first one, you're like, okay, cool, we want to do a second one. Well, suddenly, you know, you have to deal with, if you want to get go through celebrities, if you have to deal with agents or, you know, representation, not all of them, especially a lot of the smaller folks, and I don't mean smaller, like just not the big stars. A lot of them will represent themselves or will do kind of side jobs, you know, that they're interested in without getting a representation involved. Just kind of saves money for everybody and they get more of the cut. You know, and it's friends of friends, like our committee, like, you know, some of them were really connected to horror people. And so they would reach out to friends and stuff and people they knew. And we had a good reputation at the first one. So, you know, we're putting it together. And it's interesting. And I forget the guy's name. We would have people that would like, oh, hey, I'm so-and-so. I've done such-and-such. I want to do your show. And some of these folks, it's weird to think that you turn anybody down. But some of these folks are like, well, I don't even know who you are. And if I'm paying you money to bring you here, like, I want to know people are into seeing you. What I love about conventions and smaller scale ones is that you get to meet some of the people that aren't the just giant name right in your face. That as you know, people are like dying to see. It's someone like, oh my gosh, that's you. Like you've done all these great stuff, blah, blah. Like there's like Tom Sullivan. He like, if you've ever seen him, he would bring the quote unquote Evil Dead Museum. He has a huge like display of all the stuff from the Evil Dead. And he's this like, amazing artist, and he did great special effects makeup, and he's, you know, interesting guy, and I love that. I love, you know, Josh Becker has done some amazing work, and you know, getting him to come out was great. Ken was just like such a sweet guy, and we had amazing guests. Deborah Cohn came out one year, and she was just a sweetheart, and it's cool to bring those folks out. But then, you know, people do cost money, and it's not even like they could charge you $10, but you still have to fly them from wherever they're coming from to you. And you have to kind of figure all that out and then get them back. And then you have to put them up in a hotel and it just, and you know, pay for some kind of food and stuff. So it's the extra stuff, like their appearance fee may not even be a ton of money. It's just all of these stuff to get them to you and home. It makes it crazy. You know, and you just kind of try to budget it all out. You know, we would get queries from guests and stuff, and you know, for people that wanted to do the show, and we couldn't afford it. Like I remember when somebody and he played like one of the, I don't know, Leatherface, Jason, something, I can't remember which one, but he'd been in an X-Men movie, he'd done a bunch of stuff, and like he's like, hey, I'm so and so, blah 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 blah. And I was like, cool, that would be amazing. How much? And he's like, okay, it's this much. I'm like, oh yeah, we can't afford it. We can't afford this. And it was essentially like an email laughing me off. This kind of like, and it was like, I get it. Like we can't afford you, but like, you queried me. Like, why are you like kind of laughing at me, man? Like, and I get it from their perspective in that you're dealing with professionals, and they, you know, they see someone trying to like do a show on a very small budget, and they're like, girl, come on, call me when you're serious about this. But we were self-funded. We that first year, it was my investment. We had an angel investor that was an author, or is an author, that was from the area who liked what we were doing. And I had friends that like angel invested like a bunch of money into us. But even still, like this was a show that was done for much less than $5,000, probably like $3,000 maybe. And so it was basically what we took, what we made, you know, my how I did these shows is as soon as I had the take from the front, I would get it and kind of, and I would go and pay every guest that we needed to pay right then, like as soon as I could, or at the end of the show. Like I wanted to make sure I personally like got them their money, so they didn't feel like they had to come around and start like, hey, are you going to pay us? And that, you know, because that happens a lot as people get stiffed and then like, oh man, we didn't have the turnout we thought we would. So sorry about that. You know, and it's like, no, they're professionals. You agreed to a, you know, terms and you got to pay them what you agreed to. So we're putting another show on and it's suddenly more complicated. That first one, it's a miracle. It's kind of like your first movie. It's like, it's a miracle if it happens. But when it does happen, you're like, oh, cool. I did this. Like I want to do it again. And it gets harder just because suddenly like you realize the whole scope of everything. That's why my second short film was, you know, a smaller cast in like one setting, essentially, I guess a couple settings, but like it was as stripped down as possible to make it easier on me. And so, yeah, the second show went great. It was wonderful. Well, in the middle of all that, we had gotten contacted by an actor. I'm trying to use an actor. So we'd gotten contacted by an actor and they were like, hey, you know, I've heard of your show. I'm from the area. I was in movie XYZ. And, you know, they were in a bit part, but a very memorable bit part, in a movie. And I think they were in another one that was connected. It was part of a series. And they're like, hey, I would love to do a show with you. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That'd be awesome. It's like, I have an idea for this live show, like a theater show about my character that was kind of a bit part in this cult classic horror film. And I want to do this live show about that character, you know, because I have other acting and comedic aspirations, and I want to do this. It's going to be great. It's going to have a cast. I want to do it in Flint with you guys. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, through the roof. Like, this is crazy. And it's one of those things, like, this was the first time it's going to be done. It's kind of like our little kind of off-Broadway thing. And I can't recall if there's going to be songs or anything, but there were other actors going to be in it. And it started off like, we are partners. We're going to partner on this. It's going to be great. Amazing. And so we got involved and we must have paid, because I'm looking at the flyer and it's from someone around here that friends of friends were connected to. And so we must have paid for a flyer, because it's a beautiful flyer for this thing. And, you know, as me and this person, I was the contact person, we would talk and kind of flesh it out, like, oh yeah, I want to do this and this. And it's like, okay, where are we going to do it? Okay, we're going to do it in the same venue. We do our convention, which it's the Masonic, but it has a stage. Oh yeah, great, we're going to do it there. Great, so we're going to need actors. And they're like, this is when things started kind of going, you know, well, I guess I should. So eventually, like, okay, we're going to need actors. I need you to cast actors. I'm like, what? Like, I need, I don't know, I can't remember, seven people. Like, I think seven actors and blah, blah, blah. And you have to do auditions and you guys have to get them and figure all that stuff out. You're going to do all that. And it's like, well, and I get it, because we're the local ones. Like, oh, okay. And then, like, they had all of these ideas and they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And suddenly, this show we were going to do together, the budget was going to be like $7,000. And it was like, we don't have that at all. And the celebrity started getting very, like, pushing back. And I know I'm leaving some things out, because again, it was great for a little while. But I remember those last, like that last conversation between she and they and I. and it was so contentious, like, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to run your name in the ground. You are like, Flint is trash. You are just trash. Because we couldn't come across with $7,000, basically. It was going to be so much money. And they were expecting us to basically front all of it. And it's like, we do not have it. you know, we had announced the show. We had like, you know, we hadn't booked, you know, like, we hadn't gotten any of the actors or anything, but you know, this was a several month kind of thing, like 2-3 months. And it was such a nasty call. And they were so just angry and hateful. And it was one of the things, like, we'd never done a show like that. This was not what we did. We don't have that. The most we ever spent on a convention was, I think, 13 grand. And we went a couple grand over because of flights. People had to have changed. You know, and we took a bath on the whole show. That was our last one because we just couldn't do that. Like, I put a ton of money into the show, and we just couldn't do that. It was amazing, and it was an amazing show. You know, something I'll never forget. But it was one of those things where it was just like, this is not sustainable. We are not finding enough sponsors that are going to put up money. Because a lot of sponsors are like, cool, we want to do in trade. Like, we want to do in trade. Or we want, like, the $100 kind of thing. So it's like, that doesn't really get you across the finish line. But yeah, this whole show blew up in our faces, and it was a great idea. It would have been like super unique and interesting. I think we were going to show the movie they were in and then have this production, this short kind of play. And it was just, it could have been really unique, and I wish it would have worked out, and it didn't. And I was so freaked out because they were threatening so much stuff in that call. and then just having to cancel a show like that. Like, it's embarrassing to go through it, but then it's embarrassing to promote a show, heavily promote a show, and then, like, cancel it. And then you have to cancel it in a way that's not, like, speaking ill of the person. Like, oh, this just didn't work out. You know, it's a bummer. Things didn't work out. Blase, blase. And you don't know what they're going to say or what they tell people. And it never really had any big negative effect in any way other than it just kind of like, it definitely taught me a lesson to be very careful about what you are pitched. There was someone came early on, I don't know, like first, second show. And it was interesting because they were involved in makeup effects and stuff. And they'd been involved in lots of big stuff, and big enough stuff that they were, when I met with them, and it was kind of an informal meeting, they were showing me pictures of the set of the first Avengers movie, where it was like spaceships and Thor's hammer and all this stuff. And it was before we knew a story. So I'm like, why are there spaceships? Why is this? What is all this? Like, I can't remember if I saw one of the alien guys in it or not, but like, just crazy. Just like, what the? And they had wanted to come on as kind of a partial owner of the show, and they would help book and, you know, all of the stuff. But it was like, we would be handing over part of ownership of this. And this was a thing that we didn't make any money on. Like, this was not a money making thing for us. And, you know, I kind of thought it over. I pitched it to everybody, and we declined. Much to this person's frustration. And it just is one of those things. Like, it didn't make sense for us to take on a partner when there's no money per se and no promises. And it's like, we don't even know if we'd have money. Like, I don't know what that person would have put in, but like, we would, my guess is that would have given us connections and stuff, but we didn't necessarily have money to book their connections. You know, we looked into lots of guests, like amongst us, like we had a guy that was with us that knew, had lots of connections and a lot of like, just a lot of this chutzpah. And he would pursue all manner of guests. Like, he inquired about Elvira and he inquired about Bruce Campbell. And, you know, I was like, oh, well, Bruce would do it for 10 grand for a day. And it was like that kind of a thing. It's like, oh yeah, no, that's cool. And it's crazy because the fans, you know, like, who do you want to see? I want to see Robert Englund. I want to see Freddie. I want to see Jason. I want to see like these huge names. And I get it. Is because that's who the draw is. And that's, you know, when I go to convention, when I look and stuff, I'm always in like, ooh, who's there? So I absolutely 100% get it. And were I, you know, younger, you know, back then, so like, I would love to go to smaller regional shows. I never had the money back then. And now when I maybe could, I've got a family and stuff and I just can't do it. And I just don't know that the average fan sees the charm that I see in these smaller regional shows that are more about the vendors and the creators and stuff than about celebrities. And again, I get it because that's the stuff. That's the juice is you want to like, I want a picture with so-and-so. I want to meet them. I want to do this. And I absolutely get it. The celebrities are the draw, you know, but you can't, you know, it makes no sense to, you know, commit yourself financially to something you can't pay for. You know, it's so it, there's a lot of lessons to learn. And I'm always one that's like, if you want to do shows, do them. I would recommend having a support system and to look into it, but like there's a million ways to put shows on. As much as I love the big super shows, they are ridiculous in everything about them. It's too many guests. It's too much money. To put on a show, I can't imagine what kind of budget, like 50,000, 100,000, probably closer to 100,000. I'm going to guess. Yeah, at least. It's got to be. Because when you think of the space they eat up and celebrities and everything. And the cost of fans and every, like, it's just, it's too much. And they forget that we're not made of money. So that's why I like the smaller regional shows that are in, like, we always try to, we always $10. Like, that's why it bummed me out that we didn't have bigger turnouts. And I heard a million excuses like, oh, well, you're in haunt season and this and that. It's like, dude. Like, you know, oh, it's a football game. Like, if you're interested, you're interested. If you're not, you're not. And for $10, like, I just, you couldn't beat it for what we were offering. But, you know, I'll always miss doing those. In my heart, I'm always like, man, I'd love to do one last show. I think it'd be amazing. And I don't think it'll ever happen. But, you know, there were some, and I met such great people that way. Like, I got to hang out with amazing people. And just get to know them a little bit. And it's great. You just have to go in, you have to be smart about everything like that. And you have to go into it with open eyes and not fall prey to the, you know, the pitfalls. It's fun. And then you have to know, I mean, the biggest thing is you have to know what you are doing and, you know, and who you are, I guess. And you know, what you want to do. Like when we were doing some of the convention stuff, we had, you know, we were doing film festivals part of it too. And we got pitched a movie and the actor was like, I will come out and we can show this movie. And it was a porno zombie movie. And that could play gangbusters at certain shows, maybe at like a midnight screening or something. I don't know, but not at what we were doing and not for what we were doing. And it's, again, it's interesting. I never saw it, but like, it's an interesting pitch. And you get a lot of pitches of things like, again, guests and people want to do their own thing in your show and all kinds of stuff. Like there's a guy who shot tons and tons. Like he's like, oh, I'm going to document your whole convention. It's gonna be great. And we, you know, we got the footage and it's 12, lots of interviews and stuff, but like, just, you start making these weird deals with people that are, it's like, why are you into this, you know, person? And what are we? Why are we complicating things? And we complicated things too much as it was. You know, we added a pinup contest, and that just, because we were doing that and the costume contest, and it's the pinup stuff. It's just, it gets so complicated and so dramatic, and it's just, it's better to keep it simple and just to kind of do what you, why you started it. Why did we start it? We wanted to bring in guests and vendors and artists and show some movies. That's why we started. But we started to kind of get too big for our britches, kind of. And, you know, and it didn't get us any further than we were. You know, and when you get into that stuff, like with, oh, I'm going to give you all these, I'm going to give you, I promise you this as a prize. So someone sponsors it, and then they just disappear and, like, never kind of give the winner the prize they promised. So, you know, and a lot of this, it's your reputation on the line and the reputation of what you're building. So you have to know what you're doing. Like, at least as this is what we're building. We're building a XYZ. And these are our standards. These are what we stand for. We are not going to move on these items. You know, this is what we want. You can't say yes to everything. Even when it seems like you have to, you can't. Because you start getting further and further away from why you're doing it. Like, and it stinks because over the years, like, you know, my initial group of friends that I started this with, like, I had kind of half of them pull out and was, you know, had lost the venue and was didn't know what I was going to do. And had a friend that has passed now, but that was like, hey, I'm into it no matter what you do. I'm behind you. I want a table, whatever you do. And that really kind of just like, okay, cool. And we're going to figure this out. We're going to do it. You know, over the years we had people kind of come and go. You know, that's the thing too, is you have to know who you can trust and rely on, because none of this is, at least on the level we did, is paid. And, you know, there's a point where it's like, once someone's interests aren't being met, where it's like, I'm not really into this anymore, like they'll fade. And that's at you. And you got to be cool with it. You can't hold a grudge, but you've got to also understand, like, well, you've got to kind of figure that out then, you know. And the story of this show that almost was but wasn't is just kind of one of those things. Like, you know, we put on so many different shows. We did movie nights at a bar for free. You know, we did other like weird shows, like where we showed multiple movies. We had bands and movie and all kinds of stuff. And okay attendance, but like that's the thing too, is you got to figure out what's your goal for attendance, because people just don't necessarily show up for stuff. And it's crazy to me, because in a world where it's like everybody kind of has FOMO and you want to do things. And as I've gotten older and I realize, you know, I want more experiential things. I want things that like have an impact on me and aren't like necessarily like, oh, cool, I got this, whatever. I got this cool thing. Cool things are great. I have lots of cool things, but like the experiences are the things that really have stuck with me. And it's hard to get that through to people. And again, like without the celebrities or without, you know, a lot of things, it's not even price keeping away. It's just sometimes people just, and it's gotten harder now because there are so many things. Everybody's doing something and promoting something and blah, blah, blah. But also we're just kind of, especially after COVID, we're just kind of like, I can just stay home, watch a movie. I'm cool. Like, you know, whatever. Everything has changed. And it's not just COVID, but that's part of it. So you just got to figure out kind of what you're trying to do. Are you going to be okay if it doesn't live up to what you're hoping? Everybody hopes for like just a huge show and gangbusters and just like everybody's clamoring for more, and that doesn't really necessarily happen. Even if people are like, oh man, I can't wait for the next one, or I'm going to come to the next one, or whatever. I just did an author show in December, and no one, we had three guests show up, and that's it, for a free event with authors and readings, and it was a cool show, and no one really showed. And that's just, you know, that's, I could have poured tons of money into advertising and maybe gotten a few more people, but it was just one of those things, like people just weren't interested, and it's, you know, it hurts, but sometimes that's the reality of things. And you just got to keep that in mind. Well, friends, I have kept you long enough. I appreciate you. I am, as always, Chris Ringler, the Spooky Chris, regaling you with tales to put you to sleep. You can find all my stuff at spookychris.com. I will be back sooner than you think with some more interviews and some more cool stuff. I hope you are well. Take care.